Attending med school can be tough.
It is, as people describe it, one hell of a bullshit ride.
So how do we survive as medical students?
Med talks, med life, med crisis.
Hear it all on MedCast. Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of MedCast. This is your host, Ara.
And Karen. So recently, we've been inviting different content creators to guest on our podcast, and we hope that you've been liking the content that we've been putting out. Yes. And so for today, we have another content creator with us tonight. But before we get to that, just want to brief you guys on what we're going to talk about today. It's kind of different from what we've touched up on the previous episodes, but here we have with us someone who's also very experienced also in the med life, and he's talked about his experience in med school and with board exams, and especially with what we're going to talk about tonight, which is, I'll say it now, moonlighting. So here we have with us Dr. Tets, right? Or Dr. Tetsuya Makino, the creator of White Coat Blues on YouTube. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to MedCast.
Thank you very much.
Right off the bat, where did this idea of White Coat Blues start? Like, how did you get started in social media content creating?
I actually enjoyed using social media for personal usage a lot. Like, you know, random stuff lang talaga, like from my day-to-day rants and all that. But I started gaining traction when I got into med school. And I think that was because I started sharing more of my med school journey. And I think a lot of people related to that. So that's how I got started on Twitter. And then around 2017, before my clerkship, I was tweeting a lot. Yung tweets ko ngayon is like 70,000 and counting. That's how much I tweet. So I thought of making my tweets into something productive. So I started with blogging. And then, to turn those tweets into something productive naman. And then I realized that I enjoy vlogging more. So I just started doing vlogging as a quarantine project, like this podcast is. So yun. I just started last year and I have been sharing my med life. But unlike a lot of med content creators, I tend to focus on, you know, the struggles of med school and all that instead of like medical knowledge or tips, because wala ko masyadong ma-share as an average student. So I really, really do what you guys put out here on MedCast.
Thank you so much. And how's your experience been like as a vlogger? So you only started last year. Is it also like a quarantine project?
Yeah. How it started was, that was a time when we got pulled out of internship because of COVID. So right. I didn't have a lot of things to do at that moment. So I thought, why not vlog? So that's how it started. And it's been going on.
How is it like easy for you lang to put out content, or
were
there any struggles?
I'm sure you guys relate to this. When the first vlog came out, I was so nervous about people's reaction or how awkward I was on camera and all that. I was very, very self-conscious about it. Mm. But eventually, you know, it makes it easier when you realize that people don't care that much, you know, as much as you think. So I kept on putting out contents, and looking back at my old contents, you know, I cringe a lot. And I think that's a good sign because it means that you were growing, you know, since then.
Right.
Yes.
So yeah, people's reception has been really nice. I really enjoy the nice feedbacks, and I've been learning a lot too.
What about like how people receive your content? Like, how are they taking it? Are they like finding it very? Because I've seen your videos and they're so aesthetic, actually.
Yeah,
they're so pleasing to watch, and especially like your Plantito series. Like, I enjoy that a lot. But yeah, how has like the perception been of your videos? I bet you have like fans and like consistent followers already.
It's actually been overwhelming because I see some recent comments sa videos ko na they say, I decided to pursue med or I decided to take this course, blah, 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 because I watched your video and I got inspired or
wow.
I finally had the courage to decide. And, you know, as much as nice that those comments are, sobrang pressure din pala siya, no?
Yes.
Like, what if they regret down the line? Tas ikaw pala yung influence. So I take these comments very seriously. I appreciate them, but I take, I feel responsible in a way. So that's a bit, you know, it makes me a bit nervous. But nonetheless, grateful.
Yeah. So what's in store for White Coat Blues? Like, do you have any big plans in the future? And how long do you think this is going to last? Are you going to continue, let's say, even when everything's back to normal and you're doing normal shifts in the hospital?
This is a very timely question because actually by the end of this week, I'm going to relaunch my blog, tetsuyamakino.com. Yeah, it's been dormant for a while, but I did some reconstruction for the website, and the topic that we're going to talk about tonight actually is going to be the first article, so it's very, very timely.
Yes, premiere.
Yes, and as for my vlog, eventually I would like to keep on producing them, even though even if I make it into residency down the line and all that. I plan to continue because I've been, it started as a quarantine project, but it's one of the things that I wanted to do for a long time. And the quarantine was just a push, the nudge that I needed
right.
for me to start creating. And yeah, I've been getting a lot of fulfillment out of making vlogs. So I hope to continue, even if I get busy.
I think that's the good thing about us content creators, like really tackling on our journey as medical doctors, because we get to take our listeners, our viewers on this journey with us. Like, we started this when, I was in third year, Karen was in second year, and now I'm a graduate, and, you know, we're moving forward, and, you know, there's endless content to take up on and to create. So I think that's a really good thing to do and focus on. And I actually checked your website when I was like researching about you, and I was like, oh, it's down, but it's good to know that it's gonna be back up soon.
It's gonna be back up by 15. Yes.
Nice.
Nice. We'll be waiting for that. Anyway, you talked about moonlighting in one of your recent uploads on YouTube.
Yes.
And I just want to like clear the air for our non-med listeners as well. So could you define for our listeners what moonlighting really is? Ano ba yun yung upo ka sa ilalim ng full moon? Or what does it mean?
Okay, I actually want to throw that question back at you guys. What is your perception of moonlighting? Kasi ako, personally, back when I was in med school, I had no idea. So I want to know what you guys know about moonlighting.
Sige, Karen.
Oh, me first. Okay, the first time I heard moonlighting was from Doc Aura. Dr. Aura? Are you guys familiar with her? Yeah, the YouTube blogger.
Yes.
But I honestly don't know much about it, except it's something like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're a licensed physician, but you're just kind of in the limbo between passing the boards and going into residency. Like,
okay,
you just don't really know which path to take yet, so you moonlight. Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Ara? What's your perception on moonlighting?
For me, it has something to do with what I compared it to or described it to earlier. Like, that time after med proper, or like that time after you get your license, that you're kind of just enjoying not really having that many responsibilities, like as compared to a resident would. You're just enjoying earning money. So it's like taking a walk under the moon, hence moonlighting.
Ah, I like that.
Okay. Actually, both of your answers are sort of correct in a way, some sense. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but actually moonlighting is used outside of the medical context. It just means it is a side hustle. It just means side hustle. So in like other countries, when you say moonlighting, it just means that you have another job, side job. But here in the Philippine medical context, it turned into that kind of meaning. But the way I understand it, because that's how the word originated, I don't think there's like an official definition for what moonlighting is in the context of Philippine medical community. But the way I understand what moonlighting is in this context is that anyone who passed the board exam, who's not going into some sort of program, whether it be residency training or Dr. Sudibarrio's, if you don't have a structured program or training that you're going into, you're considered a moonlighter. That's how I understand it. So It's not necessarily a step towards residency, but it's just that you are not training in any way. Because a lot of my batmates or friends who are moonlighting, taking jobs as preparation for, let's say, board exam for another country. So you're not necessarily going into residency, but you're just taking these jobs as a licensed physician. So I define moonlighting first. So it's a huge umbrella term, actually. And if I could send you my resume, my CV, I held a lot of jobs, which includes company physician, I did ambulance physician, I did corporate setting, I worked at COVID ward as hospitalist, I've been working at several ER as a specialist, as a hospitalist, I mean. And then right now I'm working at a blood bank at Red Cross. So it's a huge umbrella term that means a lot of things. And if you're lucky, like my friends are, they get to work at a resort or a hotel, staying in, or you know, working as a resort physician. So it's a huge umbrella term it's hard to, you know, give a definition for a one specific thing. Mm-hmm. I hope that clears it out somewhat.
Yeah, it does. But I'm curious, you mentioned so many jobs. So how long did you do this? In the span of a year? Or
yeah, I think we'll get to it later. But when you say moonlighting, typically it means that you are working as a freelance. So depends on the type of your employment. You could be hired on a day-to-day basis or from shift-to-shift basis and not necessarily a period of time. So what happened a lot for me was I would work on Monday as a, let's say, ambulance physician, and another day I would get a work as ER physician. You know, it could have a lot of overlapping, actually.
Would you say it's somewhat similar to freelance?
Yes. Actually, I think technically when you say you are a moonlight physician, it basically means you are a freelance. However, I don't want to narrow it that much because you could still be hired for, you know, a regular basis.
Okay.
But you are still considered a moonlighter because you're not training. Yeah, I think we'll get to that a bit more later.
Okay.
Sige. Well, since we're already on the topic of moonlighting, this has been an experience of mine when I was in med school. Na profs would always tell us, like, don't go into moonlighting when you graduate because you're going to get stuck there. It's like limbo, right? They compare it to limbo, like what Karen said earlier. So why is there such a stigma behind moonlighting? And why does it exist? I mean, and what do you have to say about that stigma that our profs like really dig deep into us as we're like in med school?
Okay. I think first and foremost, there's a problem in how our handles healthcare. And that problem is that we are very hospital-centric. We are very specialist-centric. So let's say in the US, a lot of patients, or UK, patients go to general practitioner first. And if they can be handled by the general practitioner, they don't have to be referred to specialists. But that's not really the case here in the Philippines, right? Let's say the patient comes in with a chief complaint of hypertension. They tend to go straight to cardiologist.
Right.
And that doesn't have to be the case. The problem there is that healthcare becomes expensive for the patients. The hospital tends to get congested because of that. There is no empowerment of primary healthcare. And another problem is because the primary healthcare is not empowered, hospitals become congested, which is very, very apparent, especially in this pandemic. Because, you know, as we know, prevention is better than cure, you know, primary prevention, than them seeking specialists once, you know, they are in a really bad condition. So we want to avoid that. That's why primary care is important. Now, going back to your professor, they are having problem with the idea of moonlighting because they are presuming that what you want to go into is residency, right? Their idea is that, after you go to med school, you take your internship, you take the boards, and then you go straight into residency. But a lot of this is something that I had to unlearn as I went through my career, is that residency is not the end all be all of the healthcare system here in the Philippines, or, you know, career as a doctor. You don't have to train as a specialist for you to become a good doctor. And residency is not the end goal of you being a physician. Something I learned while I was moonlighting is that there are so many interesting opportunities that's outside of hospital. And that's not something that professors in med school tend to focus on, because they are confined in the hospital. So they are used to training residents. They're used to getting young doctors into hospitals, not outside of it. So I think that's where the stigma is coming from.
Okay. I still don't get why it's a bad thing, but maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just a case of generation gap.
Well, you know, I actually also see a point wherein, let's say I am a fresh grad of med school and I study for the board exam, right? My knowledge is very fresh still. But once you go into moonlighting, your knowledge isn't necessarily being used to, you know, full capacity. Especially if you're not working at, say, hospital, where you're dealing with a lot of like critical patients and you eventually want to go into IM. Or, for example, you're not working at the ER or you don't see any trauma patients, but you want to go into surgery eventually. So there's a gap in time. So that might be a negative thing, where you're, you know, the continuity of your knowledge and skills would be cut there in a moonlighting period. That is presuming that you are not practicing or you're not enhancing your knowledge and skill in that field. So it's really not a guarantee that your knowledge and skills will be deteriorated, because I have a lot of friends who went straight into emergency room. So, you know, as a fresh board passer, they're already doing like mechanical ventilator settings and intubating patients and stabilizing critically ill patients. So it's not necessarily a guarantee that you are not, you know, you're slacking or you're just resting.
Yeah.
Although that is also an option. But I don't think that's a bad thing either.
I think part of the stigma comes from our professors. Like what you said, they're stuck in the hospital setting. Or like, stuck is not the word. So they're constantly in the hospital setting.
Yeah.
And the stigma arises from their perception that when we go into moonlighting, such as the term suggests, like, you get too comfortable in it. Now, eventually, you don't go into training, you don't go into residency, and yun, parang for them, it's kind of like a setback kasi they don't get people to train. They don't have doctors to train. So, I guess that's part of, like what you said, Karen, it's kind of like a generation gap in a sense.
Yeah, but now I see where these professors are coming from, but yeah, anyway, you know, I just want to say I find this topic really interesting because I absolutely have no idea about this. And I know we're just like a few minutes into the podcast and I'm already learning so much about it. But yeah, anyway, if we were to go into moonlighting, what would be the process of applying for it? Because I feel like that's the route
like
I'm going to take.
Okay. You know, actually, one thing that was unexpected for my batch is, you know, the pandemic. So not a lot of people went into residency for various reasons. One is that, you know, there are a lot of hazards or there are a lot of changes in the structure of the residency. So a lot of my batchmates and even the upper batches who were supposed to go into residency last year didn't proceed with the residency, or, you know, they were disheartened by the Philippine healthcare system, so they decided to go out of the Philippines now. The past 2 years really forced people into exploring routes that's not residency. So anyways, going back to the quote-unquote applying for moonlighting jobs. Again, moonlighting is a very broad umbrella term, so it really depends on what you're applying for. And you know, just to summarize it, there are three levels of employment status when it comes to moonlighting, generally speaking. One being the reliever. So you are hired from day to day or shift to shift basis. So this could be, let's say, at an emergency room, someone, you know, ask for a doctor to go on duty for 24 hours, and then that's it. You get paid at the end of the day. Or you work at a clinic for a day from 8 to 5, and then you get paid at the end of the day. That is a very common form of job as a moonlighter, and we call that the reliever. And then the other end of the spectrum is when you are a formal employee, which is, you know, usually a 1-year contract or more. So a lot of doctors don't go into this route because a lot of the doctors after their moonlighting go into residency. So they don't want to take to a formal contract, something too long term. So what's common for moonlighter is somewhere in between, which is what we call the retainer. So this is, you're basically a freelance doctor that is contractual. It is more structured than the reliever post. So you get to work you can take multiple days a week, or the contract is for a few months, structured as the formal employee. So the way you apply to these form of employment would be different. So for example, when you are applying for a reliever post, there's actually no contract or signing or whatever. You just literally go to the hospital or clinic, you just do your job, and you get paid at the end. It's as simple as that. But when it comes to formal employment, it's the usual process, like submitting your NPA clearance and all that. So it really varies on what kind of job you're applying for. I know that didn't clear out too much. It might be even more for you guys now, but the short answer is that it really varies on what kind of job you're applying for and how long are you hired for.
With the reliever type, I think it's sort of a network thing then, no? Like what you said, you just go to the hospital, and usually that just happens if you have a friend or an acquaintance.
Yes.
So yes. refer lang. Networking pala.
actually, there are Facebook groups that we post job listings, looking for doctors to go on duty this day and this day, hospital name, type of work, and then how much is a PF. And then please contact me, blah, blah, blah. There are a lot of posts like that. But, since it's a public page, usually sobrang agawan niya. The post is taken in seconds, literally seconds. So what's more efficient is, through what Ara said, through network, a friend would refer to you for a job, or I'm not available for this day, could you come in? Or there's group chats. That's how you usually get jobs for the reliever post.
I was watching your video about moonlighting, and mm-hmm. I was surprised that you mentioned doctors, even now that we are in a pandemic, are having a hard time applying for a job. And that really baffles mm-hmm. me because, we hear in the news that, we're lacking doctors and the healthcare system is falling. So how come people are, young doctors are still struggling to find a job? I'm just curious if you have any answer to that.
It's a very peculiar paradox, especially in this pandemic. It is very multifactorial. But the easiest way to understand it is, saan nga ba nagkukulang yung doctors in this pandemic? It's at the hospital. And like I said earlier, people don't want to apply as residents in this pandemic. So yung batch ko, a lot of people applied for residency. A lot of them quit then because, residency in this pandemic is not easy. So that's where people are lacking. People are lacking healthcare workers, not just doctors, nurses, med tech. They're lacking those healthcare workers at the hospital level. But when you go out and then, because, just imagine how many doctors are graduating each year. And ilan lang ba'y tinatanggap sa residency, right? Depends on the residency, but some residency training would only accept 1-2 residents per year. So there is a structural problem in our healthcare system. And then when the doctors go into the residency training, they're overworked, they're underpaid. Mm-hmm. So if only the work conditions were better at the mm-hmm. hospital, more people would apply. There wouldn't be shortages of doctors, quote unquote mm-hmm. shortages of doctors. But it's more so a shortage of doctors at the hospital.
Mm.
So that goes back to your question. there are surplus of doctors who are not working in the hospital, especially in the past 2 years because of the pandemic. That's why I had so much hard time looking for a job early on in my since I graduated my med school and finished my boards. So that's the short answer to it. I hope that explains it.
It does. Thank you.
It's interesting that you brought this up because, like, in our previous episode, Dr. Janelle Montano, who is O-Doctora, she's going to take her board exams. There are a lot of people who are going to take their board exam and have taken their board exam who don't want to go into residency because of the current state of the country and the healthcare setting. And you see all these hospitals, like, they're releasing calls for applications for residency. And I have a senior who's, like, really desperate na parang, please lang hanapan mo ko ng junior kasi sobrang hirap maging first-year resident ngayon. So you could definitely see, like, how we weigh the situation now na parang, do you go into training or do you just stick with moonlighting? But I feel like with this episode, a lot of us will get the idea that, you know, given the pandemic, not that we're perpetuating it, but given the pandemic, of course, we would want to search for more viable options and more realistic options and safer options for us to get into. So say, for instance, if I were to go into moonlighting, what should I expect from it, like being a moonlighter in this time of pandemic? I guess you could relate it to your experiences as well.
Yeah, sure. I just want to point out that, you know, I think this pandemic made the situation worse when it comes to the healthcare setting, but it more so like exposed what was broken about the healthcare system. And the younger doctors are knowing their worth now, and they're not settling for less. They're striving for quality of life. And I don't think that's a bad thing, you know, because...
Right.
Especially the older generation doctors, they would tend to focus on, you know, it's a service, it's a vocation, you're supposed to help people. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a job that pays, that will feed you, put, you know, food on the table. So we can't keep on continue killing ourselves in the name of service when, you know, we are not taking care of ourselves. I think that's where a lot of the younger generation doctors are coming from. So what can you expect from moonlighting? So, like I keep on repeating, because I think it's important that people know that moonlighting is an umbrella term, and your option, you know, here's the thing. Being a doctor, it comes with privilege. Hindi ka mahirapan maghanap ng work. At the end of the day, you will be able to find work somehow, especially in this pandemic. It's just that you can't just be too choosy about it. That was my case early on, which brings me to my first point is when you go into moonlighting, expect that you might be lacking structure in life because, you know, going into college and med school and board exam, I think what was ingrained to us through the medical education was to have like a straight path when it comes to learning, education, and career. Ako kasi like, that was what I had in mind. So since college, I was so sure that right after graduating med school, I'll take my boards again, I'll go into residency again. Kasi nga, it's such a long journey. So I thought I wanted to finish that. So we were so used to having a routine for the past decade. Yes. So just know that that's not going to be existent anymore. You're going to lack structure and routine. Although that really depends on the kind of work that you're going to get. But if you are, you know, a lot of people are working as a reliever. So if that's the case for you, you really have to have a structure for yourself because you're going to lose it. Just to share my experience, back in maybe March, I was just starting to get more jobs, but I wasn't certain when my next job was going to be. So what I used to do was I took as much job as possible. And that really led me into a very unhealthy duty schedule. Like nag-duty from ako. There were times na nag 48 hours straight ako nag-duty sa ER. You know, that's very unhealthy. Yeah. So, and especially in the pandemic, you know. So, like, later I realized that the professional fee may seem enticing at first, but you have to know when to draw the line. You have to make your own structure. You have to know when is enough and what kind of life you want to build out of moonlighting. Ayun. So, and that goes also with, do you have a plan for residency in the future? Because if you do, you might want to start studying for it.
Mm.
So you have to put in that schedule na. So unlike residency na may, you know, exams periodically, or in med school na may quiz kaya paminsan-minsan, that's all gone na. So you have to study at your own pace. And, you know, if you're like me, a procrastinator, that's very hard during moonlighting. Ayun. And another thing is that if you are not, let's say, you know, going into programs like Doctors de Barrios, or you are planning to work at as a formal employee, siguro ito yung concern ng other professors natin na there might be limited professional growth.
Mm-hmm.
Limited professional growth and growth in knowledge and skills. So that's something that you have to be assertive about. If you are planning to go into residency eventually, syempre you have to have edge over the other applicants. Kasi kahit sabi natin konti yung applicants, it's still a competition.
Right.
So you have to study for it. So you have to discipline yourself that study schedule will make it into your day-to-day life. So yun. And then, you know, I think yung sinabi ni Ara kanina na moonlighting is a limbo. It's when people travel and enjoy life. That hasn't really been the case this pandemic, sadly.
Yeah.
yeah. The job market got tighter. It got more competitive. Travel restriction is, you know, it's very strict. And we can't travel as much as we want to. And, you know, life in general, it hasn't been as enjoyable as it used to be. So, ayun. However, time is still yours. It's up to you to get the job that you want, the schedule you want. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that's great about moonlighting. So if you want to rest, you can rest. But if you want to, you know, like a lot of people, grind and hustle talaga to save mm-hmm. up for money. Or I know a lot of people kasi like are working really hard to apply for USMLE or TLAB, because that can cost upwards of 600,000. It could cost million talaga just to apply for the exam. So, ayun, people are really trying to work hard for that para makaipon sila.
Mm-mm.
Ayun, so the option is limitless. Pero yun nga, the hard thing about this, yung lack of structure for me.
Now, I just want to ask you, has moonlighting been more of an advantage or a disadvantage for you?
For me, well, last year kasi when I started, I'll just share my story. What happened was, like I said, moonlighting was never part of my plan. Like, mm-hmm. it was never part of my long-term plan. But last year, when I was studying for there's this specialization that I want to apply for eventually. Tapos, nung nag-aaral ako, sabi ko, parang hindi ako ready to apply as a resident for this specific field. So, I'll give it a year. And then, you know, the pandemic went on. Kasi akala ko 2 weeks lang, like you guys said in your first episode. Akala ko 2 weeks lang yung pandemic, and then it became a year. Now we're 2 years into it. Around like June this year, I thought I was gonna apply for residency. Tapos, nakita ko yung current residents. A lot of them are not happy, they're burned out, and all that. Yung morale nila, ang baba. So I saw that. And sabi ko, I'll probably take another year off. And I wasn't able to study anyways. So that's my excuse. So, ayun. So that's my story why I'm going into 2 years into moonlighting now.
But no ayun. Regrets.
No regrets, I think. Parang I think I had to accept it. But once I did uh-huh. accept it, I knew it was the best choice for me.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of advantage, disadvantage. Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier, like, in applying for residency, do you think moonlighting has an advantage over, like, other residency applicants na hindi nag-moonlight? So from board exam, they applied agad compared to someone like you who
has been moonlighting for the past 2 years or so? Is there like a niche?
It will really depend on what kind of work you're applying for. So actually, I know people who make moonlighting, you know, to their advantage for residency application. So kunwari, research is very highly sought after sa residency kasi you'll be continuing research as residents. So I know people na who apply for research-related jobs during their moonlighting. Para malagay nila sa resume, that would appear better sa resume when they apply for residency. Or kunwari, I know a friend who wants to apply as a dermatologist. So ang ginawa niya, like preceptorship siya. Preceptorship is like sort of like internship, like elective internship. So you work under a doctor or clinic to observe and, you know, train under them. Although hindi siya formal training. So yun. So I know a friend who wants to become a dermatologist, like preceptorship siya under a derma. So during her moonlighting years, derma lang yung hawak niya. So it's really up to you how you can make moonlighting work to your advantage when it comes to those residency application. So kunwari, ikaw gusto mo mag trauma surgery. So you tend to work at emergency room to handle more trauma cases. So it's you can't really say na advantage or disadvantage, but it's more of what you did during that moonlighting years.
Right.
So let's focus now on your experience with moonlighting. And I know you've talked about this on your video, but just for our listeners who weren't able to see that video yet, so could you tell us like an overview of what it's like for you personally? And I know you've dealt with some very heavy experiences during those times. So could you tell us more about it?
Okay. So kami yung batch na nag-board exam. Tapos, you know, we're in mid-pandemic. So we were supposed to have our boards in September, na moved na November.
Mm-hmm.
We passed our boards in November. The entirety of December, they had problem with processing of license and all that. So mid-January pa ako naka-start mag-work. By that time, the moonlighting job market was saturated na with fresh grads na nauna na sa akin and all that.
Right.
Or yung mga upper batches na hindi nag-residency. So what happened was, I was only able to get 4 duties at a clinic back in January. So imagine mo, there was like 31 days in January. 4 days ako pumasa. Aww. That's how hard it was back then. And that was through referral from a friend pa. So if wala yun, wala talaga makuwang duty jobs. And then as the months went by, I got the groove na. Like Ara said, I got more job referrals through networks. And then once you get hired kasi at a certain hospital, they tend to call you back kasi na, ah, si Doc, nag-duty na siya dati. Dito, ganyan. So siya na lang ulit. Parang ganyan. So what happened was that became a routine. Eh, that time kasi, I wasn't sure when was my next duty going to be. So kuha lang ng kuha. So what happened was, like I said earlier, it really resulted in a really unhealthy duty schedule for me. I could have said no, but the problem was I wasn't sure kasi when I get the offer next time.
Right.
Yun yung life ng reliever talaga. So that happened for a while. And then in between, like I said, sobrang jumbled ng resume ko. Like teleconsult ako, like ambulance physician ako. I did corporate physician work, and then DOH volunteer ako at COVID ward, and then I did a lot of ER. So a lot of those. And like I said kanina, wala talagang structure. And that got frustrating for me. Ako kasi very type A ako. I like things organized, yeah. And I like structures and my pattern. And
you look like the type.
Very stressful. Yeah. So that got really stressful for me. So eventually, I quit all of my jobs na reliever jobs. Sabi ko, like, hindi na po ako kuha ng hospitalist job. And what happened was, like, a surge din kasi ng COVID. So it got really stressful. My mental health got affected really badly. So I said na, I'm not gonna take hospital jobs na. That's where I got lucky and I applied sa Red Cross right now. So that's how my moonlighting went so far. And going back to Ara's question, which is, you know, how's my experience? Ngayon, I'm at the place where I'm very stable na. my structure in life ko finally, which is something I strive for over the past 9 months. And then I also enjoy, like, I'm not making huge money, but I'm paying all of my bills now on my own for the past 7-8 months na. So, you know, I really enjoy that financial independence and freedom. But, you know, I have to admit, siguro, I have to swallow my pride konti and say na, tama rin yung professors na, I have hard time, you know, growing as a physician. Kasi there are times na papasok na ako as, you know, it's just my job. Pero, especially during COVID times, I had hard time coping with the surge and seeing patients na severely affected by COVID and all that. And then, I had hard time studying din. Kasi nga, parang, if you're not intentional about it, wala rin talagang direction yung life mo. If you like take work like I did, unless like very selective and intentional with the work you choose, which is probably something advice people who will go into moonlighting na be selective about the jobs you're taking. Kasi it doesn't mean that you took a lot of different jobs advantages sa'yo. So yun. So I have a very mixed experience, but currently I'm okay na. Pero I can.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, kasi actually, I had this expectation na yung endorsement kasi sa akin was that moonlighting is the best year of your life kasi you get to travel and you make a lot of money, tas hawak mo yung oras mo. I think that's the kind of impression that people have din talaga. Pero especially in this pandemic, that's not really the case. Ayun.
Given like the different experiences you shared and the advantages and disadvantages, and you also said earlier that maybe one advice you'd give is, well, what I got from it was maybe put yourself first, no? Like, don't give yourself away too much because it's just going to lead to your downfall. So what other advice would you give to those who are interested in into moonlighting?
I think the most important lesson I learned from moonlighting is that life is not a race. And I know it's so cliche. It's so cliche. Trust me, I know. You know, it's ironic because it's something I've been telling people over the years. Like, you know, I would have friends na gusto maglowa during med school kasi they feel stressed na or their mental health is affected na. I would always advise them, take a break, you know. Med journey is not a race. You have so many years ahead of you. You can take your time. But to be honest, it's not something I truly believed until recently. And then, you know, last year when I decided not to go into residency after my board exam, I was so insecure about the decision. Sabi ko, a lot of my batchmates are going into residency na. Tas ako, I'm not getting any younger. Walang age reveal. But sabi ko, like, you know, I'm one of the younger ones sa batch kasi namin. And that was something I thought I was proud of na. I'll get to finish residency by age XX, you know, na maaga ako matatapos and all that. But after I started moonlighting, especially this year, around June kasi, you know, because residency application starts around August. So if you're really serious about going into residency, you might want to start preparing around that time na, around May, June, July. And around that time, I was putting so much pressure on myself na, eto na, residency application period na, I have to decide na, kasi I'll have to apply for the papers and all that, you know, the requirements. So I had to decide that time. And then I realized na, the only person pressuring me to go into residency was, like, my friends don't care, my parents don't care about me going into residency or not. So, you know, that's when I said na, sige, I'll take another year off. And when I decided that, as in, sobrang guman yung feeling ko. I felt so much lighter.
Right.
And sabi ko, like, no one was really pressuring me. It was just me. And that was the time I accepted na, who cares if you're a year older, 2 years older, 3 years older, you know? No one really cares. Especially, your patient won't care.
Yes.
You know what? This relates to one of our episodes where we talked about our failures. But I'm not saying that moonlighting is a failure, but parang I guess it's more of, it's such a med student thing that, you know, like you said, very structured path. Like, we know that by this age, we should have accomplished this, this, and this. And once we fail, quote and unquote, to achieve that, it's such a hard pill to swallow, especially for med students. So we can relate, I'm sure. And yun nga, we 100%. Touched up on it on our previous episode.
And I'm sure that's going to be harder for you guys because, you know, as women, a lot of people would consider, you know, if you want to have family in the future, that, because like, as cliche as it sounds, for a lot of women, because that's a huge factor then talaga. So that adds another pressure for them. So I know a lot of residents who even quit residency because of that factor. So I know that's going to be extra harder for you guys when you have to decide. Pero ayun nga, hindi naman siya kaya, hindi naman siya impossible to juggle together, really.
I take solace in knowing that med is not a race.
Yes. No. Ayun, like, but, you know, life is not a race is something I used to tell people na, kunwari, after college, they are thinking to take a gap year ba before med school and all that. Tas I always tell them, you know, you don't have to rush your decision. That's something I never believed until I was the one deciding that.
It's really easier said than done, eh? Until you experience it yourself, na parang, oh shit, it's hard pala.
I like how this relates to previous episodes that we've been talking about because we've tackled rejection. And then our earlier episodes, Garen took a gap year. We also made an episode about FOMO. So, alam mo yun, I like how this all like meshes with each other in our show. So, thank you for pointing that out because that's kind of like the validation that tayo pareho and everyone else needs, especially now that it's so hard to, you know, streamline everything and just keep going. So, I like that.
Siguro another ano, another important lesson I moonlighting or realization was that it goes back to what I said earlier, the importance of primary care. Because when you think of residency, kasi, we're at the level na specialist na tayo. So the patients come into you na, na severe na, and all that. But like Philippine healthcare system tend to neglect the primary care aspect, which is, if not more, equally important as the hospital care because you want to prevent patients from worsening. That would need hospitalization. Diba, as doctors, diba, we would like our patients not to go into hospitals. But if we are hospital-centric kasi, yun yung magiging norm natin na we're surrounded by patients who come to us na malala na yung sakit nila. And I think we don't respect primary healthcare workers as much as we have to. Like yung mga barangay healthcare workers natin, municipal health officers, kahit yung mga private clinics, who caters to patients who need primary care, mga family medicine physicians, ayun, even general practitioners, we don't respect them enough. Parang pag sinabi natin GP, ay, GP lang, or like when you say fam med resident ka, you know, they would often hear na fam med is a glorified GP. Yung ganyan. Yeah. It's a very bad attitude towards primary care, and that's something I realized as a GP.
I just want to say, I like how you're so passionate about talking about primary care. Like last episode, Doc Janelle was talking about mental health naman, and I could see how she's so passionate about that. And then with you naman, the primary care health system.
Like so, taking on different themes here.
I like that. Wala lang.
Yeah, because it's something that I didn't feel personally until I got into. Kasi kunwari, when you go into clerkship or internship, you have your community exposure and all that, but that wasn't enough to make you feel the gravity of the need of the primary care, especially in the context of Philippine healthcare. Kasi people are, you know, people don't have equal access to healthcare that we don't really realize when we work at the hospital. Kasi, you know, you're at the hospital and you're surrounded by patients who's there now. You don't really get to see the patients who don't even have the access to healthcare kasi So that's something I really realized when I started working as a GP. Ayun. And I think that's something na yung professors natin or med curriculum natin would emphasize more to us. Kasi that's something I wish I learned more about.
You know what I realized just right now? Na in prev med or family med lectures kasi, our professors would always tell us to focus nga on primary care and to give it more attention, to like not belittle it. But then at the same time, these same professors are telling us or discouraging us from moonlighting and telling us to specialize agad after board exam. So those don't connect. Wala lang. I realized that lang ngayon.
Diba? Parang ako naman, my personal experience with, let's say, FAMED or PrevMed is that, you know, not to shame any institution or professors, just want to get that out there.
Yeah.
Kunwari, if I ask you, how would an indigent person apply for PhilHealth or PhilHealth right. benefits or free hospitalization or where do they get medications pag wala silang access to healthcare? When you don't, I don't know if it's just me, pero when you're fresh out of med school, those are the things you don't really know. Eh.
Mm. Yes. Diba? Uh-oh.
Yeah, yun. Parang we have to get out of our bubbles of privilege.
Agree.
Yeah, sorry na off track ako sa, ano, sa moonlighting. I got carried away by primary healthcare.
It's okay.
Yeah, so just to wrap everything up, what are your major, like, takeaway points that you would want to impart on our listeners if, say, for instance, they want to get into moonlighting or they're curious about what the experience entails? So what do you have to say to them?
Okay, I want to say first and foremost, but I think I overemphasized this in the entire podcast, that residency is not the end-all be-all of your medical journey. There are so many interesting and fulfilling career options outside of residency, outside of the hospital, outside of caring for patients. It could be research, you know, it could be academia. There are so many opportunities for us doctors. That's a great thing about graduating as doctor of medicine, is that there's limitless opportunities. You just have to know where to find them. And for you to find them, you really have to ask people. You know, that's something I wish I realized earlier, that all you have to do is ask. And there are so many options for us out here, especially in this pandemic. But, you know, you don't have to rush any decisions. If you have to work as moonlighter for finances, you know, if you need the money, that's fine. Just take residency or any plans at life at your own time, because like I said, life is at a race, and do what you must, especially in this pandemic. If it's to, you know, put food on the table for your family, if you're the breadwinner, or if you have to take a break for mental health, you know, personal reasons shouldn't really matter. Just do what's best for you. And, you know, if you still want to pursue residency, it's going to be there. It's never going to go away, you know. You could apply for residency at 40. Oh, yeah, fun story. I had a resident, radio resident, na parang 50, 60 plus na siya. First year pa lang siya.
Wow.
Yeah. Kala ko consultant siya. Sabi sa akin, sige, present ka dun sa first year. Tapos naganap ko na mukhang bata. Tapos yun pala siya na. Sabi ko, hindi pa siya consultant. Yun pala siya yung first year. So, really, like, there's really no time limit for you to when to apply for residency. So it's just gonna be there. Do what you must. Do what you want to. Because pag nag-residency ka na, ayun, tuloy-tuloy na yung specialization route mo eh. So yun. And then, you know, I think the most important thing for me was year off is not a year wasted. It's a year that you spend for yourself.
Amen. Like amen.
Ayun. So that's something I tell myself. Yeah. That's something I keep on reminding myself, kasi sometimes I still get insecure na. Yung friends ko magsa second year na, third year na, ganyan. Tapos ako, second year of moonlighting. What am I doing with my life? You know, am I wasting my youth? Ganyan. But year off, again, like I said, it's not a year wasted. It's a year full of lessons. And if you got rest out of it, it'd be good. If you got money out of it, it'd be good then. If you made networks, you had opportunities, you met people, I think that's all, you know, that will have nothing but positive impact in your life. So yun, I think that sums it up.
This episode gives me so much hope, I swear.
I know, me too.
Thank you.
Like,
I'm glad to know that.
Like, I'm not nambobola, as in, like, it from my heart. As someone who's just kind of lost now in the whole world of medicine, like, thank you so much.
Trust me, we all are lost, especially in this pandemic.
I guess it's just refreshing to constantly hear again and again on this podcast how validated our feelings are, and as well as other people's feelings, because failure is just a part of the journey that we're in.
Yes.
And, you know, just because a year for yourself, 2 years or more than that, it doesn't really define you, because by the end of the day, it's all up to you. Like, stop being pressured. Like, we cannot stress it any further na path mo yan. So take control of it. Next. Thank you very much for shedding light on moonlighting. Shedding light.
Wow.
Thanks for having me. This actually is my first ever podcast. So thank you for having me. This is so fun.
We're really happy that we yielded so much from this episode, because this is something that isn't really talked about, you know, like, mm-hmm. if you're in med school, classroom setting, no one talks about this. Yeah, and it's just so refreshing to hear your thoughts on it. And once again, that everything that we are feeling now as med students and as doctors, all of that is validated. And, you know, it all serves its purpose in our journey to becoming successful doctors. Amen. So, Karen, do you want to add anything else?
Yeah, and I'm so interested to know what happens to you, like, life after moonlighting. So, if you want to plug your YouTube so that we can follow you and what happens after moonlighting.
Okay, you can search for me, Tetsuya Makino, both on YouTube, Twitter. My website is tetsuyamakino.com, coming up this 15th. And my blog and vlog title is White Coat Blues. So, I'll keep you guys posted there.
Yes.
Thank you so much. It's been really nice having you on our show tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yay. And if you want more content like this with Doc Tets, just follow us over on Facebook and Instagram at MedcastPH. We post a lot of our episodes there. And if you have any requests that you want us to talk about on the show, just message us there. We will respond and your wish will be granted on this podcast. So that's it for tonight. Thank you guys for listening. And
thank
if you,
you
have
you.
Any questions for us or for Doc Tets, just message us or Doc Tets. And watch his videos. I cannot stress that enough.
And like, subscribe.
Subscribe and click the notification bell.
Thank you.
This has been Ara, guys.
And Karen.
And Doc Tets.
Doc Tets.
And we will see you on the next episode of MedCast. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.